All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Take your Bible, if you would, this evening. Turn to the book of Job, Job chapter number 2. If you're visiting with us tonight, we have been studying all year long, do a little preaching all year long on our theme. It's hard to believe we're starting to wind down 2011. Can you believe it? Just a few more weeks left in this year, and we'll flip the calendar over. Our theme has been all year long, church, ministering to the multitudes. That was basically Jesus' ministry on earth. Ministered to the multitudes of people from all walks of life with all kinds of problems, and yet he extended the love of God, the grace of God everywhere he went. And you know what? If we're going to be greatest in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to be ministers. It's just plain and simple. It's what he told his disciples. I'll tell you who's going to be great among you. If you just want to be great, which they all wanted to, right? Hey, we want to be great. We want to be recognized. He said, fine, be a minister. Minister to people. Reach people. Why? Because that's for whom Christ died. That's why he came, was for people. Church, I've chosen for our subject tonight. We have looked at the life of Job one other time in our study of ministering to the multitudes. And I've chosen this text again tonight, but a totally different subject in ministering to others. So if you'll stand with me tonight, Job chapter number 2, and then we're going to look at Job chapter 27 as well. Job 2 and Job chapter 27. And we're going to jump right into things here. As you know, that Job was a perfect and upright man that loved God, feared God. Satan came into the presence of the Lord one day and said, I've gone to and fro on all the earth, and I've gone here and there. And God says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to point out a guy that I want you to check out just a minute. He said, I want you to check out my servant, Job. Well, we know from the story that God gave permission for Satan to take all of his earthly possessions from him. Took everything. Took his 10 children away from him. And yet Job, through it all, did not sin, the Bible says, did not sin against God, nor charge God foolishly. So God allowed Satan to take all of these things away from Job. Well, we've come to chapter number 2 now, and now Satan's going to try to take from Job the ultimate thing, and that's his health. He's going to try to persecute now his body. He tried persecuting his possessions and tried persecuting his family. None of that seemed to faze him. So now we're going to try to persecute him personally as an individual. And I want to say to you tonight, church, that what we're going to learn tonight is one of the most incredible ministries that you can be involved in your entire Christian life. Maybe one of the most important. Look, if you would, with me, begin in Job chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to the present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Wow. Can you imagine that kind of testimony from God about you? I wonder if there's anybody in here that God said, I tell you what, Satan, why don't you check out one of my servants down there at Trinity Baptist Church? Why don't you go down there and I'll allow you to do these things to them and let's just check them out. He said, you know what, they've been faithful to me. They have been persistent in their Christian life. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that God can say, consider my servant so-and-so. Wow, what an incredible testimony. God says, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his, I want you to circle this word, this is going to be our theme tonight, his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, if you'll notice, God said that he was a man of integrity. And now Job's wife says, are you still going to retain your values? Are you still going to retain your morals, your ethics? Now, considering the circumstances that you're in, are you going to retain these? Well, go to Job 27. Go to Job chapter 27. Moreover, Job, verse 1, continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Kind of sounds like he's still on track here, doesn't it? God forbid that I should justify you. Now listen to this. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. That's a pretty strong statement right there. He said, you know what? You can count on it. I'm serving God till I die. I'm not turning my back on God. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what happens to me. He says, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. He said, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. And then I want you to look down at verse number 11. Then he makes this statement. I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Did you know Job said even through all the things that he was going through, he said, I will teach you by the hand of God. I want to speak to you tonight, church, on the ministry of integrity. It is a ministry that every born-again believer ought to participate in, but it's also one of those ministries that's unannounced. It's on display before people every day. You're either promoting Christ or you're hindering the cause of Christ. And I want to speak to you tonight using this passage and this man, Job. I speak to you about the ministry of integrity. Father, bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in church. We ask that, Lord God, open our heart and our spirit tonight to what you'd have for us in the wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. And you can be seated. The word integrity means to adhere to moral principles. It means to adhere to virtue. It means to have, listen now, this may be a cuss word. It means to have ethics. It means that, you know what, when it's time to do right, do right. Have ethics. One has defined integrity as the consistency of actions and values. Listen now, not changing your values in connection with your circumstances. Do you know that Job probably faced the most challenging circumstances that anyone could face in their entire lifetime, and he faced them right back to back to back? They all came as a flood to him, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And yet he said, till I die, I will not remove my integrity. And his own wife said, all right, now let's take a look around. Now do you retain your integrity? Are you going to change your values now because of the circumstances? You know what most of the people of God are doing today? Yeah, they are. They change with every wind that comes along, and they change according to their circumstances. That's how they change. That's how they live their life. You know what that is? That is an approach on integrity is what it is. Now, the ministry of integrity may be one of the most powerful forms of ministry that a believer can participate in on a consistent basis. Folks, the power of influence that comes through integrity is incredible if you'll think about it. You see, integrity is that unannounced ministry. It's not necessarily getting involved or participating in a ministry in church. Integrity ought to be a way of life. Integrity ought to be something that ought to come as natural as breathing to a child of God. You see, integrity is not the display of just evangelism or devotion or fellowship. But listen, it's rather the culmination of everything that's involved in the Christian life. You see, with integrity, you can't put your finger on one specific thing and say that's integrity. But you can take all the principles of Scripture, all the moral values, all the virtue, all the ethics, all the things that we've talked about just a moment ago, and put them inside integrity, and you would just about begin to start on what God describes as integrity. You can't put your finger on one particular thing, but I do know this, that the catalyst behind consistent integrity is salvation. You with me? I said if somebody, listen, people may have flashes of integrity from time to time, but if you're going to be consistent and you're going to be ministering, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have the Holy Spirit inside you that's monitoring and maintaining and guiding your actions and your thought process. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is going to have to be the administrator inside us. You know, it's been said that character is what you are when no one else is around. I want to say to you tonight that integrity is what you do when everybody is around. Amen. You've heard it said many times, hey, character is what you are when nobody else is around. I want to say integrity is what you do when everybody is around, because it's on display constantly before people. Now, integrity is fueled by character of an individual. And where personal character suffers, so does the integrity of that individual. Oh, can I say to you tonight, people do watch you and listen to what you say. Yeah, they watch you. Can I say to you, born-again believer, when you go to your job tomorrow, you know people do watch you. And they do listen to what you say. By the way, you know what? They also know how you respond to adversity. They watch how you respond. They listen to what you say, whether you praise God or whether you badmouth God, whether you praise others or whether you badmouth others. You see, people do listen and they do watch. They watch you in the good times and they watch you in the bad times. May I remind you, in our story, Job had three friends. You know where they came to watch him? In the bad time. They came to watch to see what's going on, Mr. Job, in the bad times. And they just watched him. You see, church member, child of God, believer tonight, you may not know it, but you know your next door neighbors are watching you. I've told you often in here, if anybody in my neighborhood wanted to go in and steal anything from my house, it wouldn't be hard to figure it out. You know what? They can pattern me pretty easy. They'd know when to break in. They'd know when to take everything. Matter of fact, they may be doing it right now. But I'm telling you, they would know when to do it. You see, people listen to you when you're up, but they also listen to you when you're down. Now listen, you can't get much toward the bottom than where Job was. Job was down, brother. He had lost all of his possession. He had lost all of his children. And now he had lost his health. And now his own wife said, okay, we still serving God or not? You still going to retain your integrity or not? We still going to church? Well, what does the circumstances of life have to do with going to church? What does the circumstances of life have to do with serving God? And it came from somebody that he loved very much, his own wife. We still going to go to church? We still serving God? We're still going to have devotion tonight? Look what God's done, is basically what it all boiled down to. Well, let me first say this, God didn't do any of it. And see, what I'm saying to you tonight, church, sometimes God gets a lot of blame for things that he has nothing to do with. Many times we blame him for a lot of things that's our own bad decisions and a violation of the principles
of the Word of God.
And God is going to honor His Word above all things. And so, many times, integrity, we find that, first of all, let me just mention a couple things here. First of all, you're not born with it. Amen. I tell you what you're born with, a sinful nature. I tell you what you're born with, you're born totally depraved. Listen, if you don't believe that, go check some of these kids out in the nursery sometimes. You're talking about depravity at its max. But you know what? All it is, now we're adults, we're still that little kid, that depravity trapped in an adult body. You see, depravity still lives with us every day of our life. You're not born with integrity. Integrity has to be developed in our lives. Number two, you cannot purchase it. You say, I bet I can. I'm going to go 6 years and get a master's degree. Okay, go ahead. But they don't buy you integrity. Listen, I'll tell you right now, some of the most crooked people on planet Earth are some of the most educated people on planet Earth. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying to you that education doesn't purchase integrity. You're not born with it. And can I say to you, young people, you don't inherit it from your family either. Integrity is not hereditary. Now, can you get it through the family and through training? Of course. But it's not hereditary just because of who your name is. You see, integrity is something that is developed through training, through counsel, and listen now, and through experience. And boy, was Job going through an experience. And yet, you know what he said? He said, till I die, I will not remove my integrity. You say, can we read between the lines there, preacher, and kind of interpret that? Yeah. Basically, here's what Job was saying. God's been good to me all my life. God has provided for me. Here I am in the circumstances that I'm looking at right now. How can I deny Him now? How can I turn my back on Him now? You see, the only life-changing and ministry form of integrity must be developed, listen now, through a walk with God. You know where most people that I find that are able to retain their integrity in times like Job, they get it from a walk with God. They get it from a devotional life. They get it from spending time in this book and on their knees and getting a hold of God and getting acquainted with God. You see, most of the time when I find people that turn from God because of circumstances usually have no devotional life, have no relationship with God. Why? That's where they lose the integrity factor. But integrity, I find many times, is developed on our knees and in a walk with God. You see, it will be extremely difficult for a child of God to involve themselves in this ministry we're talking about here tonight and be effective without a consistent and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if we're not helping people to Christ by our godly or goodly integrity, then we're hindering people from Christ by our lack of it. Amen. I wonder what some of our folks' next door neighbors think tonight. They're thinking, well, you know what? They tried to witness to me several months ago. And honey, go ahead and check the calendar. This is Sunday, isn't it? Well, what's the Christians doing out barbecuing tonight on Sunday night? You know what they're doing? All they're doing is shooting their testimony right in the foot. So the next time they go and knock on the door, you see, things change. Why? Because integrity is very difficult for a child of God to minister and be effective if they're not consistent. Now, if we're not helping people to Christ, we're hindering people from Christ. Let me ask you this. Where would Job's wife have been without Job's display of godly integrity? What future would she have had? What hope would she have had if Job had decided, you know what, honey, you're right. I think I am going to curse God and die. Where would she be today? You see, what about Job's friends? What would have become of them if Job had failed in his integrity? I want to say to you tonight, church, notice all these people were looking at Job, and it was his integrity that did most of the productive ministering. His wife was watching him. His three friends were watching. Later on, another friend comes and watches. We find at the end of the book now, they're all rejoicing in his house with his brethren and his sisters. A lot of people watching this guy. Can I say something? A lot of people watching you too. Yeah, they're watching you. And whether you know it or not, you're either ministering or not ministering based on the integrity of your life and what's in your life. Now, let me give you a few things here tonight. You can jot these down and we'll move on. I want to say, first of all, integrity will not do some things. First of all, it will not be baited into a compromising situation. Integrity will not be baited into a compromising situation. Can I say to you tonight, dear folks, Job didn't take the bait. And yet he was baited by Satan to try to enter into a compromising situation in his life. He refused to take the bait. And it was sit there in front of him over and over and over again. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what Satan's goal was? He wanted Job to deny God. He wanted Job to curse God. He wanted Job to get out of church, to stop serving God, to stop teaching his children the ways of God. He wanted him out of favor with God. But you know what integrity will do? It won't take the bait. It will not compromise the situation. Now, folks, listen. That bait's out there for every one of you every day of your life to compromise your integrity. Now listen, if we're not careful, we'll buy into this situational ethics idea. That, you know what, hey, if I'd have told the truth, I'd have gotten in trouble. And if I'd have filled my taxes out right, I wouldn't have got as big a return back. Amen. Amen. You do know that's honest, don't you? That's part of integrity. You say, well, I don't believe. There's a lot of things I don't believe, but I do them because I want to go to jail. You see, I'm not going to get baited into compromising the situation. And yet the bait is out there. Sometimes the bait's money. Sometimes, listen to me, the bait's friendship. You see, sometimes the bait is whatever is your weakness. Many times that's where the bait will be. And all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is integrity will not be baited into a compromising situation. Number two, integrity will not be enticed to speak foolishly. Look, if you would, are you back there in Job chapter 2? Go back there just for a moment. Actually, in Job 1:22, the scripture says, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. You see, integrity will not be enticed to speak foolishly. You know what Satan was trying to bait Job into doing? Just say one bad word against God. Come on now! Look what he's done. And by the way, that's how he'll come to you. Look what God has done to you. I thought God loved you. I thought God cared about you. Look at this face God gave you. I thought he loved you. Now, all I'm saying is he will try to convince you, church, that it's all God's fault and that everything he's done in life or everything that's happened in life, all the circumstances, all the things that have been taken from you, God took them from you. Now, listen, I understand Job's friends, they didn't know what was going on. Listen, they didn't know their head from a hole in the ground. They didn't know what was going on. And if you're not careful, you know what? You'll open your mouth and say things when you don't know what's going on either. So the best thing to do is just close your mouth. Because you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. You have no idea what trials they're going through. By the way, you have no idea what's happened in their private life. You have no idea what's going on their job. And yet, you know what? We're easy to take the place of Job's friends. But you know what outweighed it? The integrity. Just watch a person for a while, how they respond to circumstances.
See if they change or not. And you know what that'll tell you a little bit? It'll tell you a little bit about that person's walk with God. It'll tell you a little bit about that person's relationship with God. And it'll tell you a little bit that, you know what, maybe the information that you concluded may not be right. You say, but the circumstances say, well, you know what, sometimes you can't believe everything you see or hear. You see, integrity will not be enticed to speak foolishly. Number three, integrity will not respond before it has the facts. Integrity will not respond before it has the facts. Remember Job's friends, they came, they just stared at him for a week. Now listen, folks, I don't know if it bothers you when people stare at you. It kind of bothers me. Have you ever been in a restaurant or something, you're sitting there talking and talking, and all of a sudden you just got this feeling, you know what, somebody's looking at me. And you look around and there's a person over there staring at you. And then finally you want to just get up and go over there and say, listen, you got a problem? What are you staring at? Now listen, most of us can't take it for a few minutes. This happened for 7 days. They stared at him. And you know what? I wonder if they were formulating what they were going to say. I wonder if they were trying to figure out, I think I'm going to go back and sleep on this and try to formulate something. I'm going to come back and counsel Brother Job about what's going on. You know what? They had no idea who was behind all of this. They had no idea that there had already been a conversation in heaven between God and Satan, and God allowed it to happen. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. Because through his life, there was going to be more ministering to so many different people because of who he was. He didn't change because of the circumstances. Integrity will not respond before it has all the facts. Next, integrity will not rejoice in the demise of the wicked. Integrity will not rejoice in the demise of the wicked. Oh, by the way, can I say also, it will also not rejoice in the demise of another brother or sister in Christ, even if they are backslidden away from God, even if they are being offensive to other people, even if they are attacking other brothers. You know what? Integrity refuses to allow itself to get involved in rejoicing over the demise of someone else. It won't do it. It won't. Next, integrity will not accuse God foolishly. Integrity will not accuse God foolishly. Now, I think probably if we put this on a fleshly level, Job probably had as much right to accuse God more than anybody in the Bible. The temptation was probably there, but you know what? He refused to go that direction. So I said tonight, first of all, that integrity will not be baited, it will not be enticed, it will not respond before it has the facts, it will not rejoice in the demise of others, and it will not accuse God foolishly. Let me tell you what integrity will do, though. Here's the first thing. Integrity will use biblical principles to govern decisions and actions. It will use biblical principles to govern decisions and actions. Now, folks, listen. I wonder how many of folks in here, before you make a major decision in life, whether it's financial, spiritual, whether it's whatever, a major decision in life, I wonder how many of us sit down and say, now, Lord, I've prayed about this. Now I'm going to open the Word of God up. Now, would you show me from the Word of God exactly how I need to go about doing this and how I can be the best Christian I can be and what I'm going about and the decisions I'm going about making. You know what most of us do? Most of us never even open the Bible before we make a major decision. And we make the decision, the whole thing collapses around us, and then we go to the Bible. Oh, God! God! Help! Pull me out! You know what he's doing? God's saying, I tried, but you wouldn't open the Bible. So now, guess what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a Trinity Baptist Church member sows, that shall he also reap. Now here's what we want to do. We want God to hop off the throne and come rescue us. And you know what, folks? I'm sorry. He's not going to do it every time. because he's got the Word of God that he gives us to go to make decisions. So integrity will use biblical principles to govern decisions and actions. Number two, integrity will absorb criticism and temptation without submitting. Man, you talking about criticism and temptation was right at Job's doorstep. In his face. Wait a minute now. Not from just one person. Not just from two people. At least five different people either criticized or laid temptation right at his feet. And you know what? He didn't submit. He didn't submit. Why? Integrity. Integrity. You see, integrity will absorb criticism. Anybody here been criticized? You know what's best for you to do? Unless God just absolutely just best, you know what? Not to answer your critics, because all you're going to do is dig a deeper hole and you're going to keep this on going. Listen, why don't you do this? Why don't you let God take care of them? I've seen that happen. And you know what? When God takes care of your critics, man, I'm telling you, you can sit back and think, glory to God. Because when he takes care of them, usually you know what it is? He closes their mouth. But you know what will close it for them? Your integrity. Your integrity. I said that integrity absorbs criticism and temptation without submitting. Next, integrity will determine the answer, listen now, before there is a question. You follow me on that one? Okay, I said integrity will determine your answer before there ever is a question. You say, what do you mean, preacher? That means if you love this book, stay in this book, and you've developed integrity through character, and you have ethics according to the Scriptures, you love the principles of the Word of God, you know what? You've already predetermined what your answers are going to be before the questions ever come. That's a reason. You know what? Most of us in this building, just little simple temptations or simple little things that would come, we've already predetermined what the answer is going to be based on the Bible. So it's not going to... Listen, we already know what the answer is going to be. Before anybody ever asks this question, you know where that comes from? That's called integrity. Next. Integrity will rule the spirit and keep passions under control. It will rule the spirit and keep passions under control. I think I remember this verse, if I'm not mistaken. Turn over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 28, I think I'm the right. Yep, that's it. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. This is what it says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what that means, folks? It means you're out of control. That means the integrity wall has fallen and you are absolutely out of control, outwardly and inwardly. And so what integrity does is it rules the spirit and keeps our passions under control. You know what integrity do? It'll keep your tongue in your mouth. It'll keep your fist down by your side. Amen. Oh, it'll keep your fingers off of the computer Facebooking somebody in a negative, slanderous way. And I'll just say amen right there to myself. Hey, I'm just saying, but you know what happened? Integrity does that. You know what it does? It absorbs criticism. It absorbs those types of things. Let me give you one other one, we'll move on. Integrity will answer with consistency and promote godliness. Integrity will answer with consistency and promote godliness. You know what? It won't be a respecter of persons. It won't be a respecter of answers, because your answer has already predetermined before the question ever comes. So if two people or three people or four people ask you the same question, guess what your answer would be? The same to all. That's what integrity does. Now, with that said, here's the message in a nutshell. You ready? Here we go. People ask the question, does integrity really matter? Things like this, preacher, do people even really care what you say or what you do? Does having moral values or being consistent in my Christian life, does that produce dividends for the kingdom of God? Does this all really matter? Is having ethics? I heard somebody tell me, preacher, ethics, that's just overrated. Oh, really? I've had people say, preacher, is it even really necessary that we have, is character really a necessary thing in order to live for God and go about? Well, let me say this. Obviously, character is not a necessary thing in order to be saved, but I'm telling you, you're going to have a hard time living for God, my friend, without Christian character and without integrity. Now, here's the message. What does integrity minister? What does it do? I mean, you say, preacher, you told us what integrity will not do until what integrity will do. How does integrity minister? Well, let me ask you this. What was accomplished by Job's stand for what was right? What did he accomplish? Well, let's go back there and take a look. Are you there in Job chapter 2? Here's the first thing I can see here. First thing I see, if you'll go down there and look, in Job 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. He said, okay. What are we looking at there? What does integrity do there? Well, first of all, can I say to you that I have no question, there's no question in my mind that Job's integrity strengthened his own marriage. So, well, how do we know? Well, let's go to the end of the book and find out. Job 42. Verse 12, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Who do you think had them 10 kids? So you know what his integrity did, Brother Leslie? It strengthened his marriage. You know what he could have done? He could have jumped all over his wife and said, listen, how dare you talk to me like that? Don't you know we've been married this long? How dare you see what I've done? I haven't done anything wrong. But he could have gone on and he could have ripped her head off. But you know why he didn't? Integrity. The circumstances look pretty bleak, but let me tell you, my brother, he did not change his values. And he did not change his position. Because he had already made the commitment, till I die, I will not remove my integrity. Till I die. This is who I am. This is the way I am. You see, it strengthened his marriage. Can I say by doing this, Job's integrity, it produced security? What do you think Mrs. Job thought after all this? You know what? I bet she thought, you know what? You know who my husband is, don't you? Hey, 14,000, I think is what it said, didn't it? Didn't say 14,000 sheep? Hey, we used to have just a handful. We got 14,000 now. You know who's responsible for that? My husband. Hey, she wasn't thinking all this at one time, though, was she? What changed everything, Miss Martha? What changed everything, and now she bore him 10 children? What changed everything? I'll tell you what changed. It was his integrity that changed it. And it strengthened his marriage. And so now, you know what? When she felt insecure, guess what? Now she's secure. Because now she got 10 babies around her. She's got all these sheep and oxen and all these things. Boy, she's back on the mountaintop. You know who it was all because of? Daddy. Yeah, that's my husband. Y'all know what God said about him, didn't you? He's a perfect man. Feared God, upright, eschewed evil. And then somebody tapped her on the shoulder and said, Mrs. Job, I thought I heard you say, well, that was in the past. We leave the past in the past. You know how we do. That was in the past. You see, it strengthened his marriage. Why? Because his integrity gave his wife security now. You see, it built a foundation now that Mrs. Job could stand on. You see, his integrity promoted love within their marriage. And can I say to you, listen to me, husbands and wives, you want to promote integrity in your marriage? Listen to me. It will strengthen your marriage if you'll just do and live by the principles of the Word of God. Keep your values, keep your ethics, keep your virtue, regardless of the circumstances. And some of you young couples, look up here and listen to me. You're living on the mountaintop right now. But adversity will come. It will. You say, preacher, we've already vowed never, ever to have a disagreement. Well, you can vow it all you want to. You missed out on the first thing I said. We're totally depraved. You're going to have disagreements. God understands that. But you know what integrity will do? It'll strengthen your marriage. The second thing it'll do, turn, if you'd hold your place there in Job 2, go to Proverbs 20. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 20. Real quick, Proverbs 20. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity. He lives by it. He is convinced of it. He will live that way, he'll walk that way, he'll die that way. The just man walketh in his integrity. Listen now, that's not the end of the verse. Here's some of the ministry part. His children are blessed after him. Here's the second thing that the ministry of integrity will do. Not only will it strengthen the marriage, number two, there's blessings to the children. Mamas and daddies, and babies are watching you. Wait, we don't have to look down now. Look up here. We're okay. They're watching you. Parents, can I say, your teenagers are watching you and they're listening to you. You say, well, like, what are you talking about, preacher? It's like when you tell them to answer the phone and tell them that you're not there. Or go to the door and tell them there's nobody home. Do you know I had that happen to me one time? Knocked on the door. Who is it? I told him, nobody's home. Okay. I don't think that's exactly what they wanted to say, but I got the message. You see, integrity blesses the children. Honesty. Amen. It's like mamas and daddies when we go to the store and the cashier gives us too much change back and we're standing there and the kids are going, Mama, you gave him a 10 and he gave you a 10 and a 5 and someone, I think he thinks you gave him a 20. Well, finders keepers, losers weepers. And you know what you're teaching those kids to do? Steal. What you teach them to do? And so they're okay, well, if mama stole, I guess it's okay to steal. Hey, I guess if mama did it or daddy did it or whoever did it, I guess it's all right. Listen to me, folks. Mamas, daddies, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. You hear me? What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. Now, I'm putting chill bumps on every mom and daddy in here tonight. Shouldn't, if you live and be a man and woman of integrity. You see, what you'll do is you'll bless your children with moral values. You'll bless them with ethical practices. You'll bless them with a good name. You know what? Your children ought to be able to walk around church with your name and be proud of it and not hang their head because they're your son or your daughter. And you know why they ought to be able to stand with their head up high? It's because, you know what? They need to know they got a mom and daddy of integrity. Here's the third thing that the ministry of integrity will do. It'll only strengthen the marriage. It'll bless the children. Here's number three. It will minister confidence in God's Word. It'll minister confidence in God's Word. Stop. Let me ask you this. After it's all said and done, after Satan hit Job, boom, 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 and then at the end we see that God supplied all of his needs back to him. You think Satan was convinced, you know what? God's more powerful. You think he was convinced, yeah, you know what? He was right. Job is an upright man. I think I'm going to go look elsewhere. You see, what it does is that is integrity will give confidence in God's word. So when other people see you do right, you know what it does? It ministers the powerful principles of the word of God to them. It will minister the power of these principles right here. You know what we do, folks? We go and we'll go buy every bestseller in America and read it, trying to how to be financially free. Let me tell you how to be financially free. Read your Bible. Because it tells you exactly what to do and what not to do. You say, oh, does it have anything about in there about getting out of $1 million in debt? Yeah, pray. It will produce confidence in God's word. It'll teach and minister the powerful principles. It'll also, listen, how about all the precious promises? Anybody here ever claim the promises of God? You ever have people come to you and ask you, I just don't understand. How does it seem that this falls in place for you, or this falls in place for you, or this one? What are you doing? What are you doing that's causing all this to happen? You know what? Usually it's integrity and claiming the promises. And when they see God fulfilling the promises of this book in your life, you know what? They might consider getting on board. They might consider, you know what? Maybe I need to hook up with this integrity thing. But you know what else it does? Oh, this is a good one. Not only does it minister confidence in God's word with the principles, the precious promises. Oh, listen to this. It gives priceless peace. Yeah, it gives the priceless peace that, listen, no panic. No panic button. Circumstances come. Guess who's in control? God is. You know, we don't hit the panic button. It's that priceless peace that comes with integrity. It certainly was all proved to Satan. Let me give you number four quickly. And that's this. Integrity ministers faith in God's ways. Go back to Job 42. Remember the three friends? Comes down to the end of our story. Job 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord says unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Wonder whose integrity God appreciated. He says, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. Is that what your Bible says? No integrity among these guys, as my servant Job hath. And listen to what he tells them to do. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me in the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Now, listen carefully. By Job's integrity, not only did he minister confidence in the word of God, but he also ministered faith in God's ways. You think these three friends now were convinced, you know what? God's right. We didn't know what God was doing, but God's ways are best. And yet, because of this man's integrity, he's already now ministered to his wife. He's now ministered through his integrity after his wife gave birth to 10 more kids. That integrity was passed on to them. And they saw it. They heard it. They watched him as he operated. He ministered the confidence in God's word to his friends, but he also ministered faith in God's ways. You know what? They learned how to trust the unseen hand of God. And by the way, these weren't vile, wicked, you know, dope-smoking nuts. These were his friends. You say, man, for people who have friends like that, who needs enemies? But can I say to you, at least at the end of the book, you know what? God told them, this is what you need to do. I'm not very happy with it. Did you know they went and did it? Yeah, they went and did it. Hey, what I'm saying to you is that by his integrity, he instilled faith in God's ways in these guys. They accepted what God's plan was and just went on down the road with it. Well, let me give you one more and I'm done. And that's this. Number five is, here's what ministering integrity can do. What does integrity minister? Here's what it ministers. Living life can be lived righteously. And here's the little P.S. It's a choice. It's a choice. You say, well, did Job have a choice? I don't know. You answer. You tell me. Did he have a choice? Did he have a choice to either praise God or curse God? Yeah. Matter of fact, his wife tried to urge him. But you know what, Mrs. Job, sometimes she gets a lot of flack, but you know what? Go check out what she went through. You see, what I'm saying is the integrity of Job tells us now that you can live life and live a righteous life. It's a choice. Job chose not to curse God. Job chose not to accuse God. Job chose not to promote the flesh. And Job chose integrity, and everybody benefited from his choice. You see, people are watching you. And folks, this may be one of the greatest ministries that we as a believer can get involved in. Because when you go back to the end of the book, are you still there in Job 42? Let me read this and we're done. Verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters. Stop. What'd they show up for? You think they were watching him? You think they were watching how he was going to respond to all of this? Yeah, just like Mrs. Job was. Just like his friends were. And all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. You see, there's a lot of people watching Job. And you know what benefited everybody? Brothers, sisters, wife, friends. I'll tell you what benefited them. His integrity benefited them all. And it was how he responded. He kept his values. He kept his principles. He kept his morals. He kept his ethics, regardless of the circumstance. I just want to say tonight to you, church, people are watching you. People are listening to you. And we're either by the integrity of this book and following the principles of this book, we're either reflecting Jesus Christ or we're hindering the work of God. But they are watching. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Don't you slip your hand way up high and say, I'm a born-again believer, and I'm proud of it. No question about it. If the Lord returned tonight, I'm going up, preacher. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father.